some way, we're gonna make it. No matter what the test, whatever comes our way, we're gonna make it. With Jesus on
here we are close to Christmas, and Christmas have become so secular until we don't know the difference. Our children don't know the difference that this is not, we can't say that this is actually the day of Christ's birth. No, we can't say that because nobody really knows this today. But they set it aside, just like they do with 4th of July, or Labor Day, Thanksgiving, etc. They set these days aside for us to honor, and we certainly thank God for to be able to put this on. Thank God for Ms. T watching us. God bless you. And so what they did, they have secularized Christmas. They've taken Christ out of Christmas. Some places have on the door Xmas. That means they X Christ out. And when they X Christ out, then we X them out. God bless you, Sister Miller. We X them out. And so I X them out. When they X Christ out, they got an X-M-A-S up there. Then that's saying they're taking Christ out, so I'm not going to patronize and patronize you. But what I want to do today, let's see, can we locate our problem? What's going on in our life? What we do? Now, we may think, and none of us really likes problem. We don't. We don't like problem. But now, here's what happened. Problems causes us to trust God. He's working something out of us. He causes us to trust God. And not only does it cause us to trust God, it forces us to pray. There are some of us, our life would be nothing. We would have never started praying if it had not been for a problem. So problems then helped us to pray and it helped us to get closer to God. Now, we understand that problems are tests. Yes, they are tests. And these tests causes us, sometimes we're wondering how long it's going to be. But it also brings us closer to God, closer to God. God bless you, Brother Valor. It brings us closer to God. And not only brings us closer to God, it gets rid of a lot of things that you're worrying about, because the more God takes you through one problem, the more better you are to handle another problem. That's right. The more you're able to handle another problem. Then you draw near to God. And then you acknowledge your problem. Don't try to say, somebody said, what's going on? I don't have, everything's all right. It's okay. That's not true. Everything is not okay. If it's not okay, you just tell them, I'm having some challenges, but I need you to pray for me. You don't have to tell them what the challenges are. It's none of their business if you don't want to tell them. But don't say, everything is fine. Nothing is wrong. You can say, it is well. That means you're calling things that are not as though they are. You said, it is well. And be willing to work with God program. Many times we abandon God in the midst of our problem. We abandon God. We think God have forsaken us. We think God have left us simply because we have problem. Well, he's a present help in times of trouble. That's what you want to remember. He is a present help in times of trouble. So when you locate you want to locate your purpose, and your problem is against your purpose. You got to understand that. Your problem is against your purpose. So every problem that you have, there is a reason. It is against your purpose. And your purpose is your original intent. Not yours, it's God's original intent for your life. And so your problem then is going against God's intent for your life. It's trying to cut it off. And when it tries to cut it off, that's a problem. That's what a problem is. And when you're wrong, admit it. Confess your sin. Admit it. Don't say, sometimes I'm shocked with people that don't want to repent. And when you repent, you got to say what it is. Now, God, I lied. Do you think when you tell God you lied, that God goes, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, Jesus, he already knew you lied. He knew you lied before you lied. And so tell God, confess exactly what it is, and you'll find that God will bless you. He knows everything. Now, control your tongue. Don't let your tongue get you get your body out of sync with God. A lot of times folks start talking and they put their mouth in gear before they put their thoughts in gear. And then they're just talking a lot of things. Thank you, Dr. Danielle Harris. Thank you so much. Now, so they do this so that they put their mouth in gear and their tongue is out of order. And they say a lot of things that they shouldn't say. And then they say, oh my God, I'm sorry about this. Well, you before you start speaking word, make sure that you got God first. And you got to learn temperance. That's right, you got to learn temperance. Temperance is self-control. Self-control. When you out of control, it's a dangerous thing to be out of control. And you got to learn how to sometimes be self-assertive. Assert yourself. Tell what you don't like. You tell the person said, did I do this right, or what you think about me, or this or that. Say to them, okay, I do have some problem in one area. I like you, and I do like you. I do care about you, but there's something I'd like to tell you about yourself. Maybe you're not liking it. Maybe it's not that way, and maybe we can get this thing settled, but I just got to get it off my mind. So the children of Israel was in a problem for 40 years, and Jesus was he had 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, all 40 days, and those days represented years, but it didn't do what the pyramid of Israel did in those 40 years. They was on a roller coaster, up and down, up and down, up and down. And sometimes our life is just like a roller coaster. We're up and down, we're up and down. And 400 years they stayed in Egypt and were still embedded in their hearts. Egypt never left some of them. And so what you got to do when you come out of the world, make sure that the world, you don't bring the world into salvation. You don't bring the world in. Don't still act like you're in the world. Don't still act like you don't know who God is. Don't still act like you don't know your purpose. Your purpose is what God had intended for you to do. And so when you do that, you got to understand that God is on your side, and that God will make a way for you, and that God will use you to do the thing that he wants you to do. And don't ever think that God will not do this. Don't ever think that God don't care about you. God really cares about you. He really cares about you. And so if you know God cares about you, then you have to understand, say, my God care about me, and I am going to be what God wants me to be. Now, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 through 14, he said, brethren, I count not myself. This is Paul. I count not myself to apprehend it. I mean, lay hold of. I don't count myself to be the laid hold of everything that God wants me to do. But this one thing I do. What do you do, Paul? I'm forgetting those things which are behind and pressing or reaching forward to those things which are before me. Now, forgetting means lose out of the mind. That's what forgetting is. Now, sometimes you put your keys, your car key or your door key, or you put something someplace and you can't find it, your wallet, your purse, and you can't find it. You know why you can't find it? It's not in your mind. If it was in your mind, then your mind would tell you where you put it at. So then you got to retrace your steps. So, okay, I was over here, I was over there, I went in the kitchen, I went da 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 da. And sometimes you find it, but sometimes when it's still out of your mind, you don't find it. So you got to get help to find it, and you got to get somebody else to help you. Well, God said, I will bring all things to your memories. That's right. I bring it there back to your memories. I put it back in. That's if you have said something to me about it. If you have said, God, help me, then he'll help you to find it. But don't just go, oh my God. And so now you fear is the opposite of faith. And so with fear, faith don't work. Fear is a death to faith, and faith is a death to fear. And so you got to understand, we walk by faith and not by sight. So you must leave Egypt before you can reach your promised land. If you're still in the world with your mind, you got to leave the world in your mind before you can reach God. That's right. A lot of you still say, well, I'm doing all I can, and I know what I can't do, and I don't know, can I do this or that? You're still in the world. You're still thinking like the world thing. You're still thinking that you can do it yourself. The only reason we should go back to remember something in the world is it's something that was valuable to us, something that prospered us, something that was good. The good thing, all good things come from God. That's what you got to understand. God spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 that when he made everything he made, and he said, it was good. Well, what did that mean? It was good. It was saying that this is God's also. That's me. It's good. All good things come from God. And that's what we got to understand. We think sometimes because man made it, it's not good. And so we said, well, they weren't saved and they weren't this. But do you know that most of the stuff you use to save people didn't make it? Microwave they didn't make. Most of your cell phone they didn't make, and all these things, these gadgets that you have, this is signs. And God gave them common grace to do this. When he built the building, the tabernacle, he gave men talent to put how to embroider stuff, how to take a silver and thread it down without the machines they have now and make thread out of it, out of gold and silver and brass and copper. They made thread out of it. They made embroiders in the grapes, in the curtain, all of those things. They did this simply because they did it simply because they didn't know they didn't know how to do it, but God gave them the blessed them with the honor and talent to do it. So gifts and calling are what without repenting. And so you got to understand something, that science is basically in everything we do. It's scientifically microwave itself scientifically to pop popcorn. If you want to pop some popcorn, you don't have to say, I got to get a special bag of popcorn to put in this microwave. No, what microwave was set on a gauge, they went through hundreds and tests to how to pop it just right. Now, none of them is 100%. It's not going to pop all of the popcorn. No, it's not. Some going to be left, but at least you get enough pop that you can eat it. That's what you got to understand. There is no exact signs. There's always failure. God is the only somebody that is completely perfect. And that's why we got to understand how to learn how to locate the problem. And you, when you locate your problem, you know it's working with your purpose. The devil is a master at misdirecting us away from God's direction. Know what Jesus said in the wilderness. The devil quoted him scriptures out of context. And Jesus always corrected him. He said, man should not live. He said, if you do this, I'll give you that. Jesus, the man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we have to see that. And when Abraham was 90 years old, God had promised him a son when he was 75. When he got 100 years old, and Sarah was at that time 90 years old, and her body was too weak for natural to have a birth, to have a child. But she put her trust in God. And when she put her trust in God, guess what happened? God gave her the faith enough to believe that she could become pregnant at 90 years old. And he gave Abraham the faith to believe that he could conceive a child at 99 years old. And so, number one, I want to give you the guideline. That's what went out on me last week. The guidelines for faith. There's not just one type of faith. There's several types of faith. And you have to know how to work in the faith that God called you to work in. Sometimes you have to use more than one kind. And I'm going to give you some guidelines for faith. And if you learn how to use these faith, you're going to find out that right now, this year, going into 2021, going into 2021, that there are some things that you're going to confront. And there are some things that before you get out of here, you're going to confront. Thank God that he's given you the desire that many of you have not had the coronavirus and many of you have had it and you went through it. Thank God for that, because 40% of African Americans are the ones that are dying from this coronavirus. We're not dying because God don't like black folk. That's not the reason. What it is, it's a disadvantage. Disadvantage. You don't have 5 or 6 bedroom home where you can quarantine in. If you got 5 or 6 people living in your house with a 2-bedroom house or maybe a studio apartment, 4 apartments, where you gonna quarantine to? You gonna stay outside or outdoor? You can't do that. So it's easy to be spread around different ethnicities of people and in your classification, where you're living in the inner city or living in sub-property or living in tents and all of this stuff. So don't blame God. Don't blame God. Thank God that he brought you to this far. Now, here's what we got to look at. That faith, the first faith you got to understand, this is called genuine guideline faith. Here's what God, not faith that God can do it. No faith, it says that God will do it. Don't say, well, I believe God will do it. That's not the real genuine faith. When you say, I know God can do it. And here's what you got to look at. Have God ever did anything for you that you know that you wouldn't have been out of that trouble? You know that you never would have made it. You know that you couldn't get through it. No way you were going to get through it if God hadn't came in. Well, that's what you had to have. That's genuine faith. That's guideline. So you don't say, I know God will do it. So, no. What you want to say, God will do it. That's a positive statement. God will do it. He may not do it when I want him to do it, but God will do it. And there ain't nothing that God will not do. And that's what you got to understand. Now, thanks to Carcel, that's nothing that you have to do that you think that God can't do it. So that's number one guideline to faith. God will do it. Now, this natural faith goes along with number one faith. Natural faith is the faith that you put in the people, you put it in doctor, you put it in airplane, buses, train, bankers, lawyer. You said, well, I can put my $100,000 in a bank. You don't even know where it's going or whatever. You said, but I can trust the bank. They got a good reputation. I can trust them. That's natural faith. You got faith in your doctor. He writes you a prescription. You don't know all in that prescription. You can't read that their handwriting and know what all of that. They could be writing a prescription for an aspirin, and simply because the doctor wrote it, that aspirin may call you $5 when you could have bought a whole bottle for it. But they wrote you a prescription for it. They're signs. They know that when they put you on a medication that you're not used to, they don't give you the fulfillment of that medicine. They start you on a small amount. See how your body adjusts to that small amount. And if it adjusts to the small amount, then they give you some more. That's what we have to understand. God gives us more faith. The more we learn about his word, that's the more we get faith. Now, you got the natural faith for doctors and for traveling on the airplane and on buses and cars and in the bank. Then you got little faith. That's number two, little faith. And what is little faith? Little faith is Jesus said he take care. In Matthew 6:30, he said, I take care of the weed, the grass. I let it grow. I put clothes on the lilies of the valley. Now, they didn't have nobody. They don't have a family, but I take care of them. I rain on them. I give them nourishing, and then they grow, and their stalk grow. How? That's the little faith. He said, you got little faith when you don't trust in me for a big thing, a larger thing, and I take care of all the little thing. Waking you up this morning was a little thing for God. That's getting you starting you on your way was a little thing. Healing your body is a little thing for God. That's nothing big with God, but it's big with us. And so the third faith, and that's a mustard seed faith. Now, a lot of folks misunderstand that and say, if you just have this with the seed, the faith of a mustard seed, which is real tiny, that's going to do it. That's not what it was saying. It was saying that the mustard seed is the smallest seed, one of the smallest seed that you have in creation. If you ever see a mustard seed, you can put it on your hand, one seed, it is like a speck. That's what it is, just a speck. But if you put that speck on your hand and put it in the soil, and God said in Genesis 1:11, he said, told the earth to bring forth. When that speck get in the soil and germinate in the soil, that little speck will grow, that little speck of mustard seed will grow to be up almost a straw, and birds can rest on it and light on it and make nests in it. So that little thing, by faith, that one little seed became strong. And so what it's saying, if you can just have the faith of a mustard seed. The mustard seed said, you see me now, I'm a speck. But come back 2 months and you see me, you won't know that I'm that same speck. And then what I'll do, I'll multiply and I'll produce some more seed so that I can continue to grow. And that's what you do with your faith. If you grow your faith, you're producing more seed. And the more seeds you produce, the more you can grow. And that's what people, mama, don't do. They don't produce more seed. They just use up all the one. You eat up all your seed. Now, how you eat your seeds up? You eat your seed up if you don't plant another seed. And a lot of time in our life, hallelujah, glory to God, we're not planting other seed. We eat the seed, and if you eat up your seed, you don't have nothing to plant. And nothing from nothing always equal nothing. Always equal nothing. So even though it's the smallest seed, it will grow. That's right. It will grow enough to hold the birds of the air or even on some of the branches. And that's what God's power do. He's transforming our heart and forming a heart of stone to the heart of love. He takes it from that hard heart and make a heart of love. Number four, the measure of faith. What is the measure of faith? And Paul said in Romans 12 and 1-3, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. I hope some of y'all post this. I know somebody needed. I can feel somebody that needed. Somebody that you know, it may not be helping you. And you say, I already know that, Pastor. Well, there's hundreds and thousands of other folks that don't know it. So I would appreciate it if you post it. The measure of faith is Romans 12, 1-3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 said, be not conformed. That means don't be like this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renew means to make new again. If you renew a table and you see all these stretches on it and all these scars on it, you can't just go and put some more varnish on it and then think it's going to look good. No, you got to sand it down. It got to go through the this sand and stuff. You got to scrape all of that stuff off. You can't leave a speck. You want to take a blow and blow off the dust because you don't want to seal in the dust. And when you put all, get everything back, now that's a rough going in our life. When God is renewing us, his rough, he's scraping off stuff. He's taking stuff that you don't want to give up. And all of those things, you crying, oh God, I'm so, why they doing this to me and why they doing that to me? That's rough. But you got to understand God is renewing you. He's renewing you. And as God renews you and renew your strength, he said they wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. So he's renewing it. Now when he get everything out of you, then he put that varnish, that shellac on you so that that'll seal up everything. And then before he burnish you and polish you, he got to get everything out. You can't cover up sin because sin always going to stick out. So you can't cover it up. And so God has to get that out of you. He's renewing you. A measure of faith, not conformed to this world, but be conformed to my word. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God have dealt to every man a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. You had enough faith to take to believe God will save you. You got enough faith to believe that God will heal you. You got enough faith to believe that God will open doors for you. You got enough faith to believe that God would do things for you that you never thought he would do. And you got to step out. Stop. You got to step out on nothing and believe that something gonna hold you up. You got to step out on God's word, and God's word holds you up as you are traveling through this thing of faith. This is a measure of faith. You got enough faith to believe that God will bless you through the corona. You got enough faith to believe that God is going to see your family through. You got enough faith to believe that God is going to give you a job or give somebody a job to take care of you. You got enough faith to believe they're not going to take my house, my car, or anything. Stand on God's word. Hallelujah. Well, I'm getting happy myself. Now, number five. Great faith. Help us say great faith. Great faith. What is the difference between a measure of faith and great faith? I'm glad you asked. Well, great faith is the ability to pray in one place and believe God will do something in another place. Other words, you can pray right here in the United States of America and believe that God is going to hear you in India, in Africa, in South America, North America, wherever. God, that's great faith. Well, how do you know? The Roman centurion, and this is in Matthew 8:8-9 and et cetera, 8-12. It tells us about this great faith. What it said, that the centurion's servant was sick. And Jesus, it wasn't good for a Jew to go into a Gentile home. This centurion knew this. And he told Jesus that his servant was sick. And Jesus said, I'll come in. He said, no, you don't have to come in. Here's the great faith. He said, just send the word. And if you send the word, I know that my servant is going to be healed. And Jesus prayed and sent the word, and his servant was healed. That's great faith. You got somebody in another state. You know, right now I got two sisters in a different state. They both is having some challenges, and they call me for prayer. I got to believe and know that God is the same in Memphis, Tennessee, as he is in Sacramento, California. I got to know that God is the same in Africa as he is in the United States of America. I got to know that God fills the universe, and that's great faith. Now, here's number six, faithless. Faithless. What is faithless? Faithless is there are people that have seen and heard and they can touch and they can taste, but they don't believe that God can do it. That was Thomas. Thomas said to him, said, Lord Jesus, when he came back and had risen from the dead, the first thing when he came into the disciple, he said, come here, Thomas. He said, take your hand and put it in my side. Look at the holes in my hand. Look at the holes in my hand from the nail print. Look at the holes in my feet from the nail and the spikes in my feet. Look at this. Take your hand and put it in my side. It's in there. I don't have no blood because I shedded the blood for the remission of sin. But you do. Now, Thomas said, I believe. And God said, Jesus said to him, said, you believe now because you see. But blessed are they that believe and have not seen. That's what faith is. Faith is something of saying hope for, evidence of things not seen. So your faith called the unseen to be seen. If you don't have faith, it's always going to be blindness to you because you won't see it. And you can only see, hallelujah, you can only see what the faith brings into reality. Faith is the legs of your hope. What you're hoping for, faith is the leg that bring it into reality. If you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. So you got to have faith to do this. Don't be faithless. Don't be like Thomas. Don't say, I believe now because I see it. Then visible faith. What is visible faith? Visible faith is seeing the act of God and trusting in God because of the acts of God. Listen, I have present confidence, because of past experience. I like you to say that. Say, I have present confidence simply because of past experience. I know what God will do. Nobody can tell me what God won't do and what he will do. I know what he will do. I've got present confidence because of past experience. I've told you this before, probably on Moments of Inspiration. David killed the lion. David killed the bear. And when Saul said to him, you don't have no experience as a man that is of war. This said, Goliath is a man of a war. You can't take him on. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle him. David said, I got experience. You didn't see it, but a bear came out and put one of my sheep in his paw, and I took the lamb out of the bear paws, and I broke his jaw. He said, a lamb came and tried to do the same, and I took him out of the lion jaw, and I slayed him. And let me tell you something. We don't read nowhere else where David watching his sheep, the grizzly family didn't show up no more, and the Leo family didn't show up anymore, because David put such a killing on them that they knew, don't mess with David's sheep. And that's what you got to have. You got to have present confidence simply because of past experience. Now, this visible faith, it took place when Peter and Jesus had told them to go to the other side. And on their way to the other side, it was dark. My God, it was dark, and the clouds, the ocean was going up and down. They was afraid, and they cried out. And early in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, looking at the waves, and they saw this white thing coming on the wave, walking on the water. And they was afraid. And Jesus said, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. And they said, is this you, Lord? And Jesus said, yes, it's me. And Peter, on looking and seeing what faith was, he said, if it be you, Lord, command me to come. And Jesus just said, come. And on the word of come, Peter stepped on the water, and he was walking, my God, walking on the water. And when he was walking on the water, Jesus, he looked down and saw the water bolstering, how dark it was and how it was roaring. And he lost his confidence and began to sink. Now, have you ever heard of anybody beginning to sink? Have you ever jumped in some water and began to sink? You jump in the water, you going under. Just like that, you going under. And so he began to sink. And as he began to sink, he had enough sense to call on Jesus. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and said, oh, Peter, you're a little faith. You're a little faith. If you just had to keep your mind on me, and I'm stopping to tell you now, if you keep your mind on him, God is able to do more than you can imagine, more than you can think, and more than you could ever, ever, ever know that he would do. So I'm saying to you that are listening to me on Moments of Inspiration today, stay with God. Don't allow the devil to trick you. Don't allow the devil to get your mind off of God. Keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on God. For God is able to do more than he can ask, imagine, or think. So keep your mind on him, and God will bring you out. And if you keep your mind on him, you will locate your problem. And when you locate your problem, you know the devil is coming after your purpose. And you got to fight with all of your might. Fight the good fight of faith. And that's the good fight of faith. We are commanded to fight the good fight of faith. What is faith? Faith is the word of God. Devil, I demand you take your hand off of my family in the name of Jesus. I belong to God. It's in him I live and I move and I have my being. I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Nothing should separate me from the love of God. The battle is not mine. It is God. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm leaning and trusting in you, God. For it's in you I live and I move and I have my faith, and I'm calling things that are not as though they are. God, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that my mind is sound. I thank you, God, for my joy today. I thank you for waking me up this morning. This is what you got to do. You got to talk to the devil. You got to fight him with God's word. For man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I'm bringing this to a close now. So what I want you to do, I want you to trust in God. I don't care if somebody's sick and you don't know what to do. Trust in God. The doctor may have not given up on her, but God have not given us on her. He's not through with us yet. And my God, let's just keep praising God. And my God, let's don't allow Christmas, the word Christmas, to draw everything out of us and you're trying to put everything in there. Trust in the Lord. He's the same God now as he was then. It's just that they set this day aside and they commercialize it. That's why you hear a lot of folk won't wear a mask. That's why they want to keep everything open. They don't want to wait to sacrifice for 1 year. They don't want to make it ruling them. And so we cannot allow money to rule them. We got to stay with God, and we got to do the thing that God have told us to do. That's right. We got to do the thing that God have told us to do. All right. Listen, I would certainly appreciate it. You that have enjoyed this, you're part of this, to plant a seed in this ministry, plant a seed in the ministry of moments of inspiration. That's what I've tried to do every Friday, every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. to bring you some moments of inspiration to help get you through the rest of this week. If you don't have a job, to let you know that you can make it, and just plant a seed. If you have downloaded the app PushPay, you can send it to PushPay, and you can put on their moments of inspiration as a footnote, and they would know it. And we are getting ready. The year, close of the year is coming out, and I know that some of these things, some of you might would like to have handouts and so forth, and I have to take the money to get those things to you. I could let you download it, put them on and have you to download it with a certain code, all of these things. My thing is, when God give me something, it's not mine. He give it to me till I can give it away. And what you give away, you only get to keep what you give away. You can't keep something and not give it away. We only get to keep what you give away. Because when you give it away, he's helping other people. He's bringing joy back into their life. He's giving them a know what to do. And I pray that these seven examples of faith will help you. And if you say, well, Pastor, I didn't get them all. I don't know what all of them were. Well, I'm going to go over them again so that you can be able to say that you got all of these faith. God wants you to have them all. So I'm going to go back over them quickly. I'm going to run through them and faith. Number one is natural faith. Write down natural faith. That's Matthew 6 and 30. Number two is little faith. Natural faith is the natural faith. When we look at natural faith, that's your doctors, your travel, and your bankers and so forth you put trust in. Little faith is in Matthew 6 and 30. Third faith is mustard seed faith. That's the faith that you have you say compared it to a mustard seed, and you find out that a mustard seed is much more than his size. The fourth one is the measure of faith, Romans 12, 1 and 3. The fifth one is great faith, and great faith is Matthew 8, 5 through 12. And then you come to number six, faithless, and that's St. John 20, 27. And then you have visible faith, and that's St. Matthew 14, 25 through 30. All right. If you can help us out, send your love gift to Great Open Door Worldwide Ministry to Moments of Inspiration. I'm the pastor of Great Open Door, and also I'm the founder of Moments of Inspiration and other ministry. And we offer many things here. And I'd like to say, if you're living in the area and you know someone that is hungry, needs some Christmas food, we're going to be giving out boxes this Saturday morning from 9 a.m. until they run out. Christmas bucket with the turkeys and hams and so forth in the boxes, and the food for your Christmas. So if you know somebody, even if it's you, and you don't have food, come by. We're going to give them out until they're all gone. So now don't try to come by at 12 and think, if they all gone, they're gone. We're going to give first come, first serve. We're not reserving them. It's, you be here at 9 o'clock when we first start. We're going to be giving out also some masses to help you distance, to help you socialize and do all of those things. So be here at 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California. The zip code is 90805 for you that want to mail in. Again, 135 West Victoria Street, V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A, Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California. Zip code is 90805. And we thank God for you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Moments of Inspiration. This Thursday night, I'll be live streaming live. That's right, on Facebook, YouTube, and other media. You can catch us simply by going to Great Open Door Worldwide Ministry. And we'll be live streaming 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, also 11:30 a.m. I thank God for you. You all are the best folks that I don't get to see all the time, but I know you're there by your showing your love and your appreciation. Know you're going to post this, and I just want to say until next Wednesday. That's right, until next Wednesday, may God best be yours, and may you find and locate your problem in you locate your problem, because your problem would, you have to have the faith to do it, and you locate your problem, your purpose in your problem, and once you locate the purpose in your problem, you get rid of it. God bless you. Have a blessed day, and I hope you'll be back next week, and thank you for listening and tuning in. Thank you for posting. God bless.